And I better get mine. Thank you so much. And also, too, tonight is going to be absolutely brilliant and so looking forward to it. And the team have been doing such an incredible job. And I'm just believing that tonight is going to be fantastic. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of John, John chapter 18. John chapter 18, verse 15. John 18, verse 15. And it says this. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. Then the other disciple who was known to the high priest went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the servants and officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Now jumping down to verse 25. Said, now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him, whose ear Peter cut off, said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter then denied him again, and immediately a rooster crowed. Title of my message this morning is called, "Why Did Peter Pike It?" Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I just ask and pray for a spirit of boldness to come upon people today. I thank you and praise you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Many of you would know that at the start of this term, I started a series called Back to Back. And basically, that was talking about taking some topics and spending a couple of weeks on them going back to back. And so the first topic I talked about at the start of the term was talking about our tongue, and talking about how we're supposed to guard our tongue 1 week, but then the other week actually talked about how we're supposed to use our tongue. Then the next series I did actually, in a mini-series, actually went for 3 weeks, and it was talking about our attitude. How as Christians with Christ in our life, we should have the most hope-filled, should be the most hope-filled people and have the greatest attitude of anyone on the planet. And so I talked about that for a few weeks. Last week, I started speaking on the topic of evangelism. And how as Christians, one of the greatest things that we can do is actually talk about Christ and share our faith with other people. You know, sometimes that we can live a life of intimidation and live a life when we're afraid to actually share our faith and talk to others about Him. But actually, that's not what God wants for us. That actually we're called to be witnesses, not just believers. And we're supposed to be people who are willing to share our faith and tell others about Christ. And today I want to talk to you out of this passage of Scripture, talking about the famous story of when Peter denied Christ 3 times. So it's interesting. Just before this, he was at the Last Supper. Jesus said to him, "Tonight you'll deny me 3 times before the rooster crows." And he said, "There's no way that's going to happen." But here we see that he actually did that. Here's a man who was full of bravado and full of faith just a couple of hours earlier, and now he actually couldn't even share his faith or tell other people about Christ. I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life where I've actually struggled to talk about Christ myself, where I've been intimidated and shy and stopped talking about Him. But God wants us to be people who are full of faith, full of boldness, and willing to share our faith in Him. And so I want to look at this passage of Scripture and talk about the three reasons why Peter actually got to that place of being actually ashamed or embarrassed about actually knowing Christ. Now, in life, there are some things that it's probably good or natural to be embarrassed about. As a preacher, there's been a number of times when I've preached where I've had embarrassing moments. A number of years ago, I was preaching at a church and I was standing behind the pulpit. And as I was speaking, I sensed a cool breeze down below. And I remember thinking to myself, I think my fly might be down. And the thing is, when you're a preacher, you can think one thing and actually preach at the same something else at the same time. And so I was thinking to myself, how far is it down? Is it like half mast? Is it all the way? And so I made a sweeping movement with one of my hands just kind of brushed along just to check how low it was. And then I realized it was all the way down. And so I'm standing there and I decided, well, I'm not going to move today. I'm standing right here at the pulpit. And then I thought to myself, as I'm preaching, what color underwear am I wearing? And I was thinking, I hope I haven't got the leopard skin ones on. And then I realized, no, I think they're black or dark navy, okay? And so I was like, all right. And so then I preached, and at the end of my sermon, I said, can everyone just close their eyes and bow their heads? As they did, I turned around, put it up, and then I just came back And when again, there are some things worth being embarrassed about. It's worth being embarrassed about being a New South Wales supporter at State of Origin time. It is worth being embarrassed about being a follower of the Australian cricket team. There are some things worth being embarrassed about. But there's one thing we should never be embarrassed about, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. And God wants us to be people who are not ashamed of the gospel, who are not afraid to share. But who knows, in our society, and even before Bill Laver was talking about it, he's saying there's like a cultural oppression trying to get Christians to be quiet, trying to get Christians to shut up, to get Christians just to do good works but not to actually say something. Who knows that God has called us to do more than that, but he's actually called us to be preachers of the gospel, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. People can't be saved unless they hear. And so we need to be people who are bold, but there are times when we're not. And so I want to talk to you today about the three reasons why Peter Pike did, or the three reasons why Peter was got to that place of being ashamed of sharing his faith. The first thing is this. It says in John chapter 18, verses 15 to 16. It says, and Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. So they go to the gate, and Jesus is with the other disciple, who was John. John wrote this, Jesus and John went inside, but Peter stayed outside. And then John actually came to get Peter, but then Peter didn't actually go and join Jesus. He actually stayed away from him. The first reason why Peter actually was ashamed of sharing his faith in Christ was, number one, because he was away from God. He was actually away from Jesus. There's no way known he would have denied Christ if he walked in there right next to him. But he didn't. He actually stayed at a distance. And because he was at a distance from the Lord, he actually was unwilling to share his faith. In the same way as Christians, I have found in my own life that sometimes I've not wanted to share my faith because my own walk with God is not close. It's actually distant. That I'm actually away from him at that time. I know in my early years of the Christian walk, I really struggled, and I was really, really timid, and I really struggled to actually share my faith with other people. And I was working at a warehouse. I don't know if you've seen Converse shoes, and I was working for Converse footwear. And as I was working for them in the storehouse, I worked there for 2 years. And at the end of the time, God called me to go to Bible college in Sydney and to go and do a theological course to go to Bible college. And so I went and I handed in my resignation. And then on my last day of work, people came and said goodbye to me and that sort of thing. And I was downstairs, and a lady who worked in the office, now I would talk to her nearly every day. It wasn't a big company or anything like that. I would nearly talk to her every day. And she'd say, Ben, what are you going to go do now? I said, I'm going to Sydney to go to Bible college and I'm going to do a theological course. And she goes, are you a Christian? I said, yeah. She goes, I never knew. And I was like, I was there for 2 years and she actually never knew. Why didn't she know? Because I was living a duplicit life. I was one thing at church, but I was another thing in the workplace. The Bible says, let your good works shine before men, that they might glorify our Father in heaven. And because I was in some ways away from the Lord, because of that, my light didn't shine in the places where it should shine, which was actually in my workplace. Not only that, then obviously I was too timid to actually share my faith with other people. The more aligned we are with God, the closer we are to him, your light will actually naturally shine. If you've got a heart beating for God, if you're passionate about him, you will naturally talk about him. If you love someone or you love something, it naturally spills out of our mouth. And when our heart and our passion for God is fired up, then you will find that we are more and more willing to actually share our faith about him and to talk about him. Earlier this year, I joined a gym here at Varsity Lakes called Temple Gym, and I'm really looking forward to eventually going there. And I've been there a couple of times. And so, and the thing about this gym, it's right near Bond University. And it's really cheap. It's like the cheapest gym on the whole Gold Coast. So everyone who goes there is young, except for me, is young and is actually a student because it's cheaper. And the thing is, because they're young, like, everybody looks like a sports model there. And they're, you know, like, and it looks it's unbelievable, you know. And so I like the really expensive gyms where people are a bit older and a bit wealthier and don't look as good, you know. And so, but this gym, like, everybody was just looking really, really fit and that sort of thing. And so did the personal trainers. Now, because of that, it was sometimes, like, I think like with any gym, there can sometimes be a little level of, sometimes a little bit of seediness or flirtation, you know what I mean? And sometimes you could see, you know, the girls trying to, you know, try to chat up the personal trainers and that sort of thing, or they flirt with each other. But I noticed that there was one guy who was a personal trainer, and he was just like a good-looking unit, you know, like, and he was quite tall, and he was very handsome, and he was very, very fit. But I noticed any time I went to a class he ran, even if, you know, people would try and, you know, and you know, if girls would try and chat him up or something like that, he would never, he'd always be polite, but he would never flirt back or give any indication that he was actually interested or anything like that. Then one day I thought, well, you know, if you want to, you know, you get the personal trainer you want to look like. So I asked him if he could train me one day, just did it once, and I went there and we were talking, and he said to me, he goes, oh, what do you do, Ben? I said, well, I'm the senior pastor at King's Church. He goes, oh, King's Church. He goes, I go to another church here on the Gold Coast. And it worked out. He actually used to be in the Salvation Army, and his cousins used to be students at the Bible College around in Brisbane, which was really, really, really nice. But I said to him, he said, I'm a Christian. And I said, mate, I could tell. He said, how could you tell? I said, because you don't flirt with the girls. I said, all the other guys do. And I said, but you don't. And he's a married man. And his wife is a lovely young lady. And the thing is, I could tell that he had a relationship with the Lord. He was close to him. And even in his lifestyle, that exhibited that. When we're away from him, or if we live a duplicit lifestyle, it's really, really hard to share our faith. It's really, really hard to talk about him. We need to be close to him if we're going to be people who are more willing to be able to share about him. The second thing, the second reason why Peter piked it is in John chapter 18, verse 18. It says, now the servants and officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. And then later on in verse 25, it talks about him denying Christ the second time. So John comes to the door, he gets Peter, lets him in, and then John goes and gets close to Jesus. But Peter doesn't do that. Peter goes by himself away from John, away from Jesus, and joins everyone else that is warming themselves. And it's at that point someone challenges him about whether he knows Christ, and he denies Christ a second time. The second reason why he was afraid to share his faith is number two, because he was alone. Because he was alone, because he was actually by himself. The Christian walk is not meant to be lived alone. That as Christians, we're supposed to be part of a community, and being part of that community that can help lift our faith. The Bible says, encourage one another. And we can't encourage one another if there isn't another. And so as Christians, it's important for us to live that life in community, to live that Christian life. That is why being part of a local church is so important to actually our faith. Where we can come and we can encourage each other and that sort of thing. That's why it's really, really cool to join a small group in the middle of the week, because we come to a church service and we, most of the time, we're getting spoken to while we're worshiping, and there's a band and that sort of thing, and we can have a cuppa outside, which is awesome. But a lot of the time we're looking at the back of somebody else's head. But we're in a life group, or if we're in a small group, we get to know other people, and they get to know our weaknesses, and we get to pray for each other and strengthen each other and actually minister to each other. No one of us will ever be strong enough to live the fulfilling Christian life purely by ourselves. That as Christians, we actually need other people. That's why the Bible says we're actually a body. And as a body, each part needs the other. Without being connected to the body, parts actually die. I remember years ago, there was a TV show I used to like watching, and it was called Alias, and it was about this spy network. And basically, there was this one particular scene where there's this building, this massive building, and an alarm has gone off and a countdown, and the building's about to explode. And the man who could stop it is actually being tied up in this particular chair where he cannot move, and he's locked down. And what they need is his fingerprint to go on to the panel to actually stop the countdown and to stop the building from exploding. And so with about 30 seconds to go, he's there, he's in this chair. All of a sudden, one of the spies comes in to rescue him and says, "How do I turn off the alarm?" And he said, "You need my fingerprint on the touchpad." And so the person's there trying to get them out of the chair. And he says, "Listen, you're not going to be able to get me out of this. I created this. You're not going to be able to get me out." They said, "Well, what do we do?" And then the next scene they show, they've cut his finger off and they're grabbing his finger and they go over to the panel, touch panel, and they save the day. The next scene, they get him out of the chair eventually and they put his finger in a bucket of ice and they rush him to the hospital. And the reason why they rush him to the hospital is not because he would die, because he could still live. You can live without a finger. I remember an old Irish comedian, a guy by the name of Dave Allen. I don't know if any of you remember him. And he was a guy who only had half a finger. And as one of his jokes, he would pretend he's picking his nose and it looked like he was in up to his knuckle. And so he had lived for many years with only half a finger. The body can live without a finger, but the finger can't live without the body. And the reason why they rushed him to hospital was not because he would die, but because without him, the finger would die. In the same way, we need to. It's important for us to live a life in Christian community, to live a life in touch with other people, that they can know us and can encourage us and build us up. Isolation is one of the worst things that can happen to our Christian faith. The Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, so another man sharpens another. When Jesus sent people out to minister and see signs and wonders, he never sent them out by himself. He always sent them out two by two. When Peter was alone, that was the moment where he actually denied Christ. His faith could not withstand it. The third reason why Peter piked it, so to speak, says in John 18, verses 26 to 27, says, "One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, 'I did not see you in the garden. Did I not see you in the garden with him?' Peter then denied again, and immediately a rooster crowed." So here's Peter, he's warming himself by the fire. He just told someone, "No, I don't know Christ." And then there's another guy there who recognized him from the Garden of Gethsemane just a couple of hours before. So a couple of hours before, Peter was in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. They came to take him away to be tried. Peter grabbed a sword and cut the ear off one of his assailants. And then Jesus went up to that man and touched his ear, and then he was healed. So he comes here, he stands here, and here is one of that guy's cousin standing at the fire. And he said to him, "Didn't I see you in the garden as well?" And he denied him a third time. The third reason why Peter denied Christ at this time was because he was afraid. He was afraid. He was afraid of the consequences of actually sharing his faith. I think for many of us, the number one reason why we don't want to share our faith is actually because of the consequences. We're worried about what's going to actually happen to us if we actually do it. For here, he was worried about physical retribution. And there are some occasions where literally physical retribution is something that can happen. Many years ago, when I did a bit of street preaching for a couple of years in Sydney, and used to do it at a place called Chester Hill Railway Station, which is basically, you know, right in the middle of a very large part of Sydney, which has a lot of Muslims and that sort of thing. And so me and some friends, we would do street preaching pretty well every week there. And then one day I was with another guy, his name was Nick. And Nick had just been sharing his faith with someone, and that person right there at that station wanted to give their life to Christ right there and then, which was awesome. And so my friend Nick, the guy was sitting on a bench. My friend Nick got down on his knee and he said, "Okay, pray this prayer after me. I'll lead you in a prayer to give your life to Jesus Christ." Just as he was about to do that, a guy went past on a push bike from behind Nick, kicked him in the head, and his head went smash on the concrete, came up and his face was split and his blood everywhere and that sort of thing. He received some sort of level of physical retribution as a result of sharing his faith. Probably doesn't happen as much here in our nation, but there's no doubt in some parts of the world, there's actually physical retribution for being willing to share your faith. But the Bible says, in spite of that, I will not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Another reason why we can be afraid to share our faith is actually rejection. We don't want to be rejected personally by the person who we're actually sharing our faith with. That can be especially so when it comes to close friends and family members. Sometimes they're the hardest people to share our faith with because they actually, if they don't receive it, they can actually reject us personally. I remember one time I was sharing a faith with a guy who was my best friend, and I didn't do it very well, and we just ended up getting in a really big argument as we were doing it. And I was like, oh, you know, and I was so nervous about it. And there were times after that I would be intimidated from sharing my faith because I didn't want them to reject me. But here's the thing, I can't save them. I can't heal them. I can't change their life. It's nice that they know me, but it's more important that they know somebody else. And that person is Jesus Christ. And so even if there's times where we might risk a little bit of rejection, it's important for us to overcome that. Another reason why we could be afraid of consequences, could mean a loss of opportunity for us. Back in the United States, in the NFL, which is American football, gridiron, don't know why they call it football, they hardly kick it. But in American football, there was a number of years ago, there was a guy who's pretty well known, and he was a quarterback, a guy named Tim Tebow. And Tim Tebow was very vocal about his faith in God. And one particular year, he actually was leading his team to a number of heart-stopping victories all at the same time, a number of weeks in a row, and it was considered quite miraculous. So because of that, he was always being interviewed afterwards by the media. And afterwards, he would just be there and he'd be just sharing his faith and he'd be preaching and he was getting on people's nerves as a result of it. And then he would do things. He became so famous that when he was in games when he wasn't on the field, he'd be on the side praying for his team and he'd get on one knee and put his hand like that, and they called it Tebowing. And it went all over social media and it became really famous. But I remember thinking at the time, I hope he doesn't start losing, because I got a feeling that they might try and find an excuse to actually get rid of him because he's probably too vocal about his faith. But praise God, he wasn't actually worried about that. He was more committed to sharing his faith with other people. And even though he did lose his contract, he's still very well known now and always has great opportunities to tell other people about Jesus Christ. I know another man that he was a school teacher in Europe. He was an Australian and he led a student to Christ. And he was actually the principal of that school. And then he got immediately dismissed. In our nation, there's lots of pressure to get us Christians to be quiet, to get us to shut up, to intimidate us. But here's the thing, I don't think we should let that happen. We're not going to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the only way for people to be saved. We can do good works and we can do nice things, but the Bible says we've got a light and we've got to let our light shine. Bible says if you've got a lamp, you don't hide it under a bowl. The Christian life is not a private faith. Sometimes we think, well, you know, it's just my private walk with God, my private faith. There's an element of that. There's an element of sacredness about our walk with God. But it's not just that. We're called to be witnesses. We're called to let our light shine. We're called to share our faith with other people. And if we dull it down, even then, the Bible says that you don't hide it. And if we do hide it, you get a candle and you cover it up, then our own fire and passion will start going down as well. It's important for us to share our faith. Sometimes I remind myself this from a song that I learned at Sunday school when I was a kid. And when I was a kid at Sunday school, we'd no overhead projection. Or actually, I think there was, you know, not the videos, but you know the ones that you called the OHP? And you had the slide and you put on the projector. Has anyone been an OHP monitor? Okay. Oh, you need a degree to run that thing. Seriously, you put the slide on and it looks upside down and then you turn it around and it's back to front. And it's just like, it is so difficult, you know, to do that. That's an elite level of servanthood right there. But I went to a church that didn't even have that. And so we used to sing songs at kids' church from a book called Scripture in Song. And I don't know if some of you remember. Anyone remember the Scripture in Song? Okay, praise God, I'm getting old. So, and there was a song in there that really, you know, talks about a little bit about what I'm talking about here. And the thing is, I don't know all the words. I've forgotten some of them. But I might add some. And I thought I might just sing it for you to help you remember. And it goes a little bit like this. And it won't be as good as What About Me. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. Going, and soon all those around shall wonder at its glowing. glowing. That's how it is with God's love. Once you experience it, I don't know if these are the right words. It makes me sing. It's fresh like spring. I want to pass it on. Thank you very much. Thank you. God's called us to pass it on. And we can't allow intimidation to stop it. What I love, when I was a youth pastor, you could do so much in Christian schools. So much in state schools. I used to go into those places, and if a group came and saw me, I could preach the gospel. The only thing I couldn't do is pray for them and have them fall over. That's the only thing. And so if they did, you got to hold them up. But I would share our devotions, invite them to youth, everything like that. But it's almost like there's a part of our society, a political side, that's trying to close all those doors and try and shut those down. And it is important for us to be able to, through whatever way we can, to try and keep those doors open, because we are a free society and we should be able to allow people to know our nation was built on Christian values. Our nation is not a secular society. The things that we say are Australian were actually founded because they were Christian. Things like egalitarianism, things like mateship and charity, all those things that Australians are known for actually are because we're actually a Christian country. So it is important that we protect those freedoms and those Christian values in our nation. But not only that, not only should we fight in that sphere, God's called us to do another one. He's called us to create other spheres as well. And that's why we do Christian schools, because there's nobody stopping us from preaching the gospel at those things. And people will come, and people love sending their families to Christian schools because they don't like some of the things happening in state schools and that sort of thing. And they want to bring them, and we're going to share the gospel with them, and we're going to talk about Christ. And God's been opening doors for us over the next 20 years that we might be able to establish these communities and these hubs where the gospel is freely proclaimed, where there is nothing stopping that, and people can come to know Jesus Christ. God has called us to be people to let our light shine. But we need to make sure that we don't allow ourselves to be intimidated to the point that we don't share it. Amen? And I prayed this morning about this service, and I just had this picture. And the picture was, hey, you know greyhounds, when someone's walking a greyhound around, they always have a muzzle on them because obviously they bite at people and that sort of thing. I had a picture, and the picture I saw was that in this service, muzzles were just popping off. The people that had muzzles on their mouths stopping them from sharing their faith, intimidation and fear that was popping off people's lives and releasing them to be able to share more freely about their faith.